Hello and welcome to another episode of Digital Economy 101 podcast. I'm your host Dino Oreschki and our guest today is Tom Pennings, founder and CEO at SalesNudge. Belgian born, right next to the old Belgian coal mines, Tom discovered computers after taking apart pretty much every electronic device in the Pennings family. Tom, hi and welcome to the show.
Hey, nice to meet you. We're not going to take apart any devices today.
Okay, that's good to know. Could you give us an overview of current state of innovation within commercial departments?
Very good. Well, before I do, I have a little disclaimer, obviously. This is the view that I have because of SalesNudge, where we specifically target SMEs, so small to medium businesses, maybe 15 to 100 employees. And so the state of technology and innovation is interesting. If you look at Eurostat is a statistician statistics that the European Union collects, and you can see that specifically for sales departments, about 50% of those organizations use a CRM today. I know for many organizations that's not new, but it's still a great growth opportunity. Similarly, most sales teams are starting to understand that technology is going to be important to do business with the new audience. The people expect more and more digital experiences. And so you can see that they're adapting more and more software solutions, software tools like a lead info, like an outreach, like a sales navigator. And where initially, five tools were used about a year to 2 years ago, thinking about email and CRM, it now grows to 9+ tools that sales organizations, digital tools that sales organizations are starting to use.
Oh, wow. Are those connected to some industries or?
It depends. We see a wide variety. Obviously, you have the pure SaaS technology companies, but you can also see that there are the additional tools that now help you transcribe conversations. And depending on the vertical that they integrate with, the customer can use digital tools for meeting the initial or starting the initial conversation with your organization. Obviously, depending on what product you sell, if you're in the building industry, still personal contact is extremely important and digitalization will be slower. But if you're looking at SaaS products, today, most consumers are comfortable having the initial conversation digitally if needed. Yeah.
Right. So it's all about the data. And how is this data then, and analytics, obviously, revolutionizing the way commercial departments understand and then interact with their customers, with their buyers?
Mm-hmm. And that's, that is possible. Initially, if you remember a decade ago, most consumers still interacted with the phone or maybe at a fair. And I'm not saying that's completely gone away, but as you see digitalization coming, and this is also part of the, the COVID situation, you can see that consumers are perfectly happy to buy products now all the way up in the thousands, completely digital. Once it becomes digital, there is a digital trail. When did they sign up with? Did they react to email? They connect over LinkedIn. All that digital information becomes very useful to start tuning your sales process, to start tuning your sales approach, and also to make it much more easy for you to focus your sales team on specific tasks. Yes. So I think as we move forward into the age of digitization, and we believe that the digitalization has already happened, that is not completely true. I think it's in full transition today. You have more data to start optimizing the process, basically.
And we need to discuss about AI as well. So all of the CRM systems, all of the sales tools today have the some sort of an AI assistant, AI companion. Let AI help you with this. Let AI help you with that. Does AI work for better efficiency, or do people still, treat AI as something like a nice to have?
Also, this depends on the digitization. But with AI, I first want to, define what AI is really about. Because AI can mean a lot of different things. And obviously, in traditional media, you talk about AI. But AI can mean for sales, a lot of different solutions. Because in the end, technology is just a means to an end. What is important is how does AI make the job of the salesperson and also for the potential customer more effective. And so there's different areas where that can be applied. Now, one important remark to that AI statement is also, I'm saying there's more and more data from customers, but at the same time, the commercial process has a lot of trouble being digitized. Most salespeople do not enjoy leaving data or entering data into systems, and therefore we're now looking at ways to amend that. If you look at startups that transcribe, you know, conversations like this, in the last 5 years, that has gotten exponentially better. The transcription of text, dialects, different versions of the language that initially were not English. You can see that becoming more and more interesting. And AI is now starting to analyze these texts to get better descriptions of the conversations. So that's one area. Similarly to outreach, you know, the whole ChatGPT, so large language models, enable you to generate texts that starts become very, very natural sounding that can use data from the consumer, maybe a LinkedIn post or maybe something on their website to create a very personalized outreach. So what AI really does and can mean for the commercial activities is for processes that are digital, it can create with less effort, more personalized outreaches. I think there's an opportunity there. Similarly to seeing how high is the interest of the consumer that has interacted, already started with, you know, HubSpot and creating the funnel, the different approaches where the interested prospect can interact with content along the way. Also here, I think AI is the opportunity to analyze and say, is this really somebody ready to buy, or is he or she just looking around, needs some more information about the product, or is he ready to literally sign a check at the end of the conversation? So there, I think there's a huge opportunity, but at the same time, big warning flag, not all data is there yet. It's a process that is not necessarily full digitized yet. And some people just still like in-person contact. So I don't believe AI will replace maybe salespeople. There are some processes where pure digital sales do happen and not a salesperson is needed. But if you look at the Tesla analogy, for example, even though that process is fully digitized, I think the position of the salesperson changes. Today, if you go to a Tesla store, their most important value they can bring is to guide the prospect. Talk about electric driving. Talk about the challenge of charging your car and how long that takes and how far they drive. So they become more of a guide, a educator in the process. So you can see there's a shift happening for sure.
Right. And three anecdotes came to my mind. First one is from college, when one of my professors literally said, look, software works like this. The better the input, the better the outcome will be. So if we don't have the inputs, then we don't have the outputs. Which leads us to the second anecdote. Just yesterday, I was with a client. He's a team lead, sales team lead. And he has six salesperson within his team. And he's the only one filling in the CRM. He's the only one filling in the data. So that's the, And the third one is obviously challenges. You have mentioned some of them, but what are today's biggest challenges that the commercial departments face in their digital transformation, and how could they be addressed? Not just the sales department, but also there is a sales and marketing handshake here at place.
Of course, yes. There is, I call it always the Grand Canyon. There's a Grand Canyon between sales and marketing, especially as organizations become bigger. The marketing departments and the sales department are always at odds, similarly to where sales and, for example, the development department are at odds. Where marketing says we deliver great marketing qualified leads, but sales doesn't do anything with it or doesn't follow up, sales will always say, hey, you deliver these leads, but half of them are not even good enough for us to do anything with. So there is this tension. And I think, for example, a tool like a HubSpot, tries to bridge that gap. And similarly, we at SalesNudge try to bridge the gap as well. I think additional qualification is needed. And I think it's important to get a good picture of what happens with all those leads and what can we learn from reaching out to those leads.
So essentially, the holistic approach here is needed. Mm-hmm. Not just, they are good qualified, they are bad qualified. No, there's always a learning phase. There's always an optimization phase.
Exactly.
You have mentioned a lot of gaps to fill in here.
Yeah, and I think the same goes with AI. For me, it's the dawn of AI. We are learning from different departments. Commercial is obviously one of them, as to how it will make the job more efficient. How can you be more customer-centric using AI? And how can you make sure that the customer is helped in the most important way? Because sales is always about, you know, knowing your customers, liking your customers, being really at ease such that you can offer a solution that the customer is really looking for. I think that's the essentials of sales, and AI has a function there. We don't know exactly what that is yet, though.
Right. And there are a lot of talks today about, as they call it, the customer's inability to buy. For example, someone reads your email,
mm-hmm.
goes into the, let's say, PDF file of your offerings,
mm-hmm.
gets a WhatsApp message, gets a Viber message, whatever, he's mm-hmm. off. Poof. His mm-hmm. attention is gone. And now, of course, customer experience is number one focus for the commercial departments. Can you mm-hmm. share a few examples of innovative strategies which commercial departments then can take into consideration and effectively into action?
Yes, of course. I mean, it all starts off with how much of your buying process and experience process is digitized, right? And so I think from that perspective, there is a lot to be desired, but also you cannot overvalue that process. You can see a lot of startups starting today, which is one of the verticals we target with Sales Nudge, that think, oh, if we have a very good inbound strategy, we put a lot of effort in the different documents, sales will just come. And that's not true, to be very blunt, especially in the early days where people don't know you and don't know your product well. I think it's still, and it has always been, a perfect mix between messaging, great content, and very, very well thought and educated salespeople that can take the customer on a journey, that understand what the needs are, listens to the customer, and then actually helps them through the buying process, or decide, you know, if the product is not for them, is not going to help them. I think there specifically, there are many, many stories to be had. I've looked at large organizations with my other company on Sophic. We look at companies like a Randstad or a large financial institution to understand that process. And even they, just like SMEs, are struggling to use digitization. Innovative ways, I mean, Randstad is a perfect example with the customer delight process, where they really analyze customer feedback beyond just the surveys to understand what and each department is struggling with. And where larger organizations like Randstad used to do that globally, nowadays, we're looking at individual units to understand, you know, is friendliness a challenge? Do customers feel helped? Those kind of things. And using digitization to understand what the number one focus for the next month or the next quarter should be for a specific unit. It used to be a global effort. And I think with digitization, we can now do it very precise on individual unit, on the individual level, or in individual regions to tackle this problem head on. I think that's definitely innovative for larger organizations. For SMEs, I think there's a lot of things to optimize. One, I thought, and this is maybe a great example, it's one of our customers in the windows and doors industry. They sell windows and doors to consumers. Now, one of the crazy and most important aspects in customer acquisition is the cost of customer acquisition. Now, if you look at traditional construction companies, because in a way it's a construction company, usually the process is like this. A customer reaches out or gets in touch with you, says, hey, I need all windows to be triple pane, extra energy friendly, right? So traditionally what happens is phone comes in, secretary takes that. Some person in the technical department or project department gets in his car, drives over to the customer and says, all right, let me look at what you have. Start measuring this, comes back, goes back to the office and sends out the proposal, says to replace these windows, it's going to cost you this much. That's expensive. What they did, and I thought that was a unique approach, they said, listen, we develop we're going to develop a tool where online you can high level define your windows and place them into like a virtual box. It's a very easy to use tool that pretty much any consumer can use. And what that does is you kind of get an estimate. It's going to be three windows. I need triple pane. They're up the front. They're on the first level. That kind of stuff gets figured out. There's no person involved. At that point, that technical thing that the customer did is submitted to the client, to the company. And at that point, a proposal goes out, high-level proposal, but the big warning, it says, this is an estimate. Please approve the estimate. At the point that the customer approves the estimate for these windows, only then somebody gets on the road and basically goes look at it and measure it. This saved them an enormous amount of work. Also for people not traveling, getting on the road and visiting customers before there was a commitment in place. And I think that's one of the innovative ways that a traditional construction industry can use to optimize their sales process and to also deliver a great customer service. So I think that's a perfect example where not a large organization like Randstad, but a construction company can also be innovative to save costs and get a better customer experience.
Awesome example. And your approach is obviously because of your technical background is also very, very technical. Now you have mentioned several technologies here. Which technologies do you believe will have a significant impact on the commercial departments and their work?
Huh, that's a hard catch. I mean, the easy answer is AI, but I think it's more complex than that. I think if I go down to it without going into deep technical details, I think there's a lot of innovation that still needs to happen on the CRM. So the customer relations management tool, basically the source of all data in the SME world, all commercial data that is. I think there's a lot that needs to be desired. And I think there's going to be a shift in entering data. Right now, it's a duplicate process, right? You do your sales process in the evening, you do administration. I think there's a lot to be desired there to optimize that process for as much that is possible in the vertical. I think additionally, being able for salespeople to use the phone or whatever device they have on them to automate some of that process is a great opportunity, because not in any case, AI will help the salesperson. As much as Salesforce has these AI wizards or a Pipedrive, which I'm a big fan of, which is a CRM for the SME market, I think those AIs cannot do a whole lot unless the commercial activities from the salespersons gets more digitized. And that could also mean spending some time on optimizing your websites. It's really small things that you can do as a SME that improves the commercial capabilities and also the ability to predict revenue. So I think all of these things need to happen for AI to be meaningful. And I'm not talking about the LLMs to create good commercial outreach. I'm talking mostly for the commercial process itself, as in to the sales process. Yeah.
Right. And that leads us to the never-ending culture of innovation, which companies simply need to adopt. How do we stand there? What's the situation out there?
Very scattered from what I can tell. Obviously, if I'm talking SMEs, they have very little time to think about innovation. Usually the industry, what you will see is if it's an SME where, you know, father to son kind of situation, you can see that digitalization or a digital native founder will help think about processes and think about optimization. And you can see people who grew up in the digital age obviously have a couple of reflexes on how to optimize the business. But what is very dangerous is that you need to have enough of a technical background or get some technical advice such that you're not going off and ordering HubSpot and starting with Facebook ads and just randomly hope that your business is going to get better. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for consultants, digital consultants, to really assist SMEs into the digitalization process for their customer as well as for their internal teams. For the large organizations, it's a hit or miss. I've seen many digitization processes or innovation processes in large organizations. Some are pure marketing to be able to say, hey, we're doing innovative stuff or we're creating innovative things. But there's also ones that are sincere. A recent example is one of the big four that is actually organizing within the structure of One Hour, One Bill, in bringing innovation from the inside out, basically optimizing processes in the organization, and then also innovative projects to automate some of the processes they deliver to customers. But I also hear it's important to discern between lip service or marketing value and actual innovation. Because innovation, just like with startups, you know, you do 10, one is gonna succeed in the best case. And therefore, it's very difficult for large organizations to take this risk because the return on investment is hard to justify. And these are projects that don't, you know, return value within 6 months. So there really needs to be a CEO, a top level person that has this type of mindset in their DNA to succeed, right? If you're purely running an organization on ROI, then innovation with short-term results is a difficult one. So there is a belief that needs to happen before you could see results.
Right, and then we come to the evolution of the commercial departments, both marketing and sales, because working with both departments, or for example, with companies that have pretty large sales department, let's say, for an SMB, they are still thinking, should they hire or engage someone for marketing or not? So The evolution of the commercial teams within the organization is now a pretty big deal, because apparently marketing gets some credit for the sales, not just the sales department.
Yeah. It's a very important shift. I've actually studied this. You know, and I'm going to make some blanket statements. I know there's more detail or granularity to that, but the blanket statement is this: marketing got a seat on the board, and that just only happened fairly recently in the latest decade. Previously, marketing was a shoot and we'll see what happens, and we never know what the ROI is. With the introduction of digitization and the ability to run ads and see the return on investment, starting with Google and with analytics and with Hotjar and all of these tools that now enable marketing departments to make very, very specific efforts and calculate what the return is, that put them in the board seat. That now CEOs will talk to the marketing department, ask them what they've tried, and see what the return on investment is, right? Commercials, pure sale department, didn't have that. And you can see a shift now happening with data and with the ability to look at, hey, we're going after an ICP. We have a lead list that is very clearly defined, and we are going to, over the next 3 weeks, have 60 calls a week to reach out to a total of 180 prospects on a very specific niche. And then we'll see what the return on investment is. Basically, how many converted, what are the conversion ratio, and what earned me ultimately started to create closed deals. That enables commercial departments to do a similar exercise as marketing has been doing for the last decade. And I think that's a great opportunity. If you link the two, it becomes even more powerful. But that shift is happening today. I don't think we're all the way there yet.
Right. And then they both have their KPIs, their OKRs, and whatever goals needed for them to work together and for them to, you know, work towards the same goal, which is
exactly
company growth, more free time, a little bit of extra cash in their pockets, and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I strongly believe in that vision, yes.
And on that note, what strategic advice can you offer to the leaders, founders such as yourself? How should then they tackle this, all of those commercial issues? Now, you said the mindset of the CEO or of the founder is very important here.
Exactly, yes. Because it is an effort that doesn't return anything within weeks or months. I think it's important for organizations. Of course, if they're startups, that DNA will already be there. But if you're an established SME or even an established larger organization or enterprise, it's very important to not just look at data from a, hey, this is interesting, kind of like the counter on the website every time somebody visits, but think about how this all fits together in a big piece. If I can give you one piece of advice, even with people who are already digital native, it's important to get some outside advice. Keep your ears open on new technologies that succeed and see how they apply to your commercial and marketing processes. Have your ears open. Talk to different leaders in your market as well as outside of your market to do the cross-pollination between what you can see in the car industry and applies to, I don't know, maybe you're selling like the gentleman with the windows and the doors. Apply that and keep your eyes and ears open. As you see more and more companies go digital, and that includes running Facebook ads, being on LinkedIn, publishing videos about your brand, see what others are doing and do your own attempts to see how it impacts your business. I think that's the best advice that I can give companies that want to be succeeding in the next 10 or 15 years.
As Pablo Picasso once said, good artist copy, great artist steal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it's important to see. You never need, I mean, reinventing the wheel is a very costly exercise, and chances are you learn the same lessons as somebody else has done. So don't.
Right. We haven't tackled one topic, which is hot potato in Europe today, and that is sustainability. We already had two shows in regards of ESG at this podcast show. However, they are also getting slowly into the commercial thing because people operating within the ESG system also need marketing, also need sales, also need the innovation.
Of course.
How do they stand here?
So it's a good question because, you know, making the link between ESG and commercial activities is challenging. You would initially think, I don't know if anything has to do with it, but I think the most important part about ESG is that the consumer, your potential client, is aware and sensitive, becomes sensitive to more environment-friendly processes as well as products. And I think this has more to do with the value proposition that you propose to your prospects and has to do about how your product applies to that. I think that is one aspect, you know, tuning the commercial departments to add green and environmental friendly products and pitches to their pitch. I think that's one important aspect. The second important aspect already alluded to in the beginning, which is how much of your process can be digitized. And remember the example of the windows and doors. Having your commercial people only go out with a validated prospect who is willing to spend money, who spent money on looking at the windows or doors that he needed or she needed, and then only sending somebody out also impacts environment significantly. Not only saves you cost as a business, but also saves you, you know, time and not driving all over the planet for customers that may not be validated yet. So definitely look at how you can increase qualification of your leads before you spend time, effort, and of course, gas driving to your prospects. And I think there's a great opportunity there, especially in the energy build construction industry today in Europe. Additionally, and I think that's an important one since this very much applied to us, we see quite a bit of traction in what we call the energy transition businesses. What I mean by that, the European mandate by 2030 to have existing homes be more energy friendly, meaning having solar panels, well-insulated houses, both from the roof, the windows, and so forth, as well as battery technology and others, meaning cars that maybe can be charged if you go electric. I think there's a great opportunity and a great market opportunity for all of those companies to do that. And that basically ties it all together from being more efficient, energy-friendly selling process to thinking about the value proposition to those customers who are influenced by being more energy-friendly or renovating their house, as well as enabling your customers to do that transition more efficiently. I think that's definitely something that has been accelerated through the ESG effort.
Right. Great advices. Again, thank you. And the final question is the hardest one. Now, you were in that situation in your career. I was in this situation in my career. What piece of advice would you give to an entrepreneur, meaning somebody within the company, that particularly within the sales department or marketing department, that wants to do that shift? But the organization is, as you have mentioned, more traditional. They don't want to embrace the new technologies, opportunities, data analysis, and all that stuff. What should those people do? What's your best piece of advice for them?
I think it's similar to running a startup. Iterate fast, start small, and create small wins that ultimately shift the whole organization. I think that's the best advice as an intrapreneur. I know a lot of organizations, and having worked in large organizations before as a consultant, as well as being part of it, I understand how complex it is to move things, especially when budgets are under pressure. But you have one huge advantage. Today, technologies like, for example, a sales nudge, or maybe an outreach.com, or maybe some of the automatically transcribing softwares out there, they are very low barrier to entry. Tens, maybe hundreds of euros a month is a very low cost where you can experiment very locally in your department, create small wins, and focus on those things where you see, as an experienced entrepreneur, where you can add the most value. Use those to elevate your department, your commercial organization in this case, to the next level, and use that on your way up to the board meetings. Because I think, like I said, there is a shift that enables commercial companies or commercial organizations in companies to get a seat at the board. And if there's one shift that is happening in the industry worldwide, it's about looking at data in a meaningful way to optimize anything in the organization. So that DNA is there. You just thrive off that with small experiments and showing proof. And I think that makes more sense than spending 150K on a project that may not go anywhere. Instead, spread that 150K and bring it down to 50K and do 10K or 5K experiments to show progress. I think agility and quick experiments are your key to making change in a large organization that may be a little bit more rigid.
Great stuff. Tom, thank you. It was a pleasure.
It was a very nice opportunity. Also nice to meet you. And I hope I can add some value for the people's listening from my personal experience, both in technology as well as the recent ventures into sales and commercial activities.
I'm sure you will, because all of the notes and all of the websites which you have mentioned will be listed at show notes description. Tom, thanks again. And thank you guys for listening. Please do hit subscribe, because we do have a new show coming out soon.